Bird will come along tonight. Thanks for coming.
Now, we started here on Sunday night, and this chart, we've been speaking on it each night through the week. And God willing, we'll be here tomorrow night, Friday, and we'll be here Sunday night. And then Sunday night we'll announce, because we do hope to get through the chart. And of course, for any that's not acquainted with it, it's the journey of the children of Israel through the wilderness from the time of redemption until they're in the Canaan land. And what things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And so God has instruction for us in these things. And we're going to notice tonight, which might be enlightening to some, because we're living in a world where people think that man is running it. Man is running the world. And they don't realize that God is a program and God is a purpose. And everything is running on schedule as far as God is concerned. And we're going to notice some of that tonight. And we're going to read in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19 and reading from verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together, and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now this is what the Lord spoke, chapter 20. This is what we're going to notice tonight. We're going to notice this. The giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now there we have the giving of the law or the Ten Commandments. And sometimes people don't know where to find the Ten Commandments. I got a phone call one time. The lady wouldn't tell me her name. She says, "Where will I find the Ten Commandments?" Well, I said, "Who is it?" "No," she said, "don't bother. Where will I find the Ten Commandments in the Bible?" It says in the 20th chapter of Exodus. And so that's where you find the Ten Commandments. Now let us look over in Romans. Romans chapter 3. Verse 19. Now we've just read the law, the Ten Commandments. Now this is what the Spirit of God says about the law. Verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." I hope everyone takes that in. Why the law was given. Some people think it was given like a ladder to get to heaven by. You keep the Ten Commandments, you get to heaven. Not a bit of it. Now, ever since God drove man out of the Garden of Eden, he's always had it in his mind that he could get back into the presence of God on his own. And the first man that tried it was Cain. Cain tried it, and he came to God. God said, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And there in that Garden of Eden, man sinned against God, and man got his eyes opened, and the sentence of death was passed upon him and the whole human race. But there was a way back to God through substitution. And Abel took that way. He realized he had forfeited his right to live. And so Abel brought a little lamb. And Abel placed the lamb on the altar and shed his blood and stood back and waited for God to accept that sacrifice. And the fire came down and consume that sacrifice, leaving a little spot of ashes where the lamb had lain. And Abel went away realizing God carried out the death sentence on the lamb. I forfeited all right to live, but God accepted a substitute in my place, and Abel could say, "Thank God, if he knew what we often sing, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away." Cain, he tried to get back to God with the works of his own hand. And sorry to say, for 6,000 years, man has been trying to do that. He can't do it. God has said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, as I say, man always thought he could get back to God. He could be good enough, and he could do enough, and he could say enough, and he could pray enough, and he'd get back to God in his own. And to convince man that he's an absolute and total failure, God tried him under, we'll say, seven dispensations. That is, a dispensation is a period of time that God deals with humanity. Now, we might just go over them because, you see, God, as I say, has a program. And God said to man, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh shall be the Sabbath of the Lord. Now while that was a 6 day week, without a doubt, a week as we know it, yet we believe it was a shadow of man's day, the 6,000 years that God had given to man to do all his work. And God is going to have the seventh day, the 7,000th year, he's going to have the millennial rest. And we're coming up to it. Man is in his last Saturday night, we might say, of his week. is 6 day week. And sometimes people say, well, why doesn't God do something about all this carnage that's going on? And this war and the suffering of the children and all the tragedies. If there's a God in heaven, why doesn't he do something? Listen, God is a righteous God. God is a God of integrity. And when he said to man, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, God won't intervene until man's day is finished. And why are all these things going on? It's man's day. And man today is controlled by that sinister being behind the scene, Satan, the god of this world. Now man's day will end with a Superman. Satan has been working on it for 6,000 years almost to produce a Superman. And he's going to come out and he'll be Satan's man. And he'll have all the charisma that humanity has ever produced. He will be a genius. He'll be able to answer all man's questions. He will be a Superman because he's called in the scriptures the man of sin or the Antichrist. And that will head up man's day. For the Lord takes over and destroys that man, and that man will be sent to the lake of fire without a trial. Now God tried man in the Garden of Eden in innocence. That was the first dispensation. He tried him in innocence. He gave him one prohibition. He says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, and the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Why did God do that? Well, God didn't make man like a robot. God made man with a free will. And that was a test. Whether he would be obedient to God or whether he'd take his own free will. You see, if people say, well, why didn't God do something and make it that he couldn't sin? Then he would be like a robot. And the greatest thing on that God has given to human nature is the ability to say, I will, to make choices. And that's what makes it so terribly solemn, because people can choose to go to heaven or they can choose to go to hell. And so he tried him in the Garden of Eden in innocence. What happened? He proved to be a failure. And we see God driving him out of the garden, out into the world to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. So dispensation one is finished in failure. Man failed. Now he's out, and he's on conscience, the dispensation of conscience. He knew good and evil. He didn't know that before, good and evil. And now we're in the dispensation of conscience outside the garden. Now people say today, you know, well, I can do such and such a thing, and my conscience don't bother me. Listen, friend, you're too late. You're too late. That dispensation is all over. That dispensation is gone. Man is out now on his own to make his own choices, to go by his conscience. And what happens? We find that he's an absolute failure. And that dispensation ends in a flood destroying the whole world. Every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And so, friend, man proved to be a failure, guided by his conscience. Now, every man has a conscience, but conscience is no guide. It has to have, it's like the chart and the compass. Conscience is no guide unless it has a regulator. The compass that a man has in his boat or on his airplane is absolutely worthless without a chart. Man's conscience, unless it's guided by the inspired word of God, is absolutely of no avail. And so if you're here tonight and you say, well, my conscience doesn't bother me. I went into a place one time. We had a
tent in a place where they fished lobsters out of season. Short lobsters and poached lobsters and all. And I went into this house visiting, and she said, you know, she says, I can work with these lobsters all day, she said. And it never bothers my conscience. I said, did you ever read the 13th chapter of Romans? Didn't bother her conscience. But what does God say? God says we are to be obedient to the powers that be. You see, and she thought, well, we're making money, so my conscience doesn't bother me. And that's exactly what conscience will do with people if they go by their conscience. But conscience regulated by the Word of God is a sure guide if we bring it to the test of the Word of God. So we find dispensation number one, innocence is gone. Man pale. Dispensation number two, under conscience, an absolute failure. Innocence, conscience, failed. The whole world is enveloped in a flood. Now, God brought eight people through that flood, and God said, as he put man out of the ark, as man came out of the ark, Noah, he put man under human government. Human government? Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And so, under human government, the dispensation of human government, what happened? We find it ends in a total fit, Babylon, the great. God said, spread abroad and replenish the earth. Man said, let us build us a tower that will reach to heaven and make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the earth. Under human government, man proved himself to be a total failure, and God confounded their languages and spread them over all the earth. So there's three dispensations gone by. Now, out of all that confusion, God calls a man by the name of Abraham. And he makes promises to him. And this ushers in the dispensation of conscience, or of a promise. And Abraham went out. And he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And Abraham, he became a pilgrim and a stranger on the earth. Abraham was a wonderful saint of God. You read about him in the book of the Hebrews as well. And that dispensation rolled its course. Where did it end? In a coffin in Egypt. It ended there. The seed of that man Abraham, we find in the end of the book of Genesis. It says, a coffin in Egypt. The man proved to be a total failure there. Didn't make it under the dispensation of conscience. Under the dispensation of human government. And he didn't make it under the dispensation of promise. Now in all these, there were saints of God that were faithful. But that was God's dealing under promise. Now, we have come to what we read tonight. Man had it in him that if God would just give him the rule, he said, all that thou sayest unto us, we will do, and be obedient. So at Sinai, all this that we've been noticing tonight, God was working for them and delivering them and all. Now they put themselves under law. They said, you give us the rule, and all that thou sayest unto us, we will do, and be obedient. And so, as we've often said, God gave them 10 commandments. Now, you know what God did? Well, they didn't realize it, maybe. God took out what was in the human heart and he wrote it on tables of stone. Why did God say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy mind? Because it wasn't in man's heart to do it. And so you look at the Ten Commandments and you get on the tables of stone exactly what's in your heart and my heart. And all that God is trying to teach man is that he's a guilty sinner. And God is trying to close his mouth so that he'll have nothing good to say and he'll flee to the open arm of a blessed Savior who died upon the cross for sinners. That's what God's trying to do. And that's what the law was given for. It says that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So there may be someone here tonight and you think that you're doing pretty well, keeping the law. Then he's a person who thought that. There was one man especially, and his name was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. One of the most zealous religious men, he said, he challenged the whole world to produce a man with more religion than he had. And then he enumerates all he had. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, the only one that was born in the land. He could say, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. All the rest of the children of Jacob was born out of the land, but he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, the descendants of Abraham. And he was a Pharisee. And as touching the law, blameless. He couldn't produce more than that. Now, he challenged the whole world to produce a man with more than he had. Now he said, in Romans chapter 7, he said, I was alive without the law once. That is, I thought I was doing what pleased God and I'd get to heaven on it. But he said, when the law came, the law said, thou shalt not covet. It slew me. He didn't realize. You coveted me. You know what I coveted, see? God says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. We often tell about the little story in the Traveler's Guide many years ago about this Christian man who had the very righteous living servant, and he was getting to heaven by keeping the law. And no matter what the master said to him, he figured that he kept the law and kept it perfectly. So the Christian master, he said, if you can keep the law for 1/2 hour, he said, I'll give you that best riding horse. He had a lot of horses, and one this man dearly loved. And he says, if you can keep the law for 1/2 hour, I'll give you that horse. And he says, more than that, I'll give you a place to get way up on the hill. Will there be nobody to tempt? And if you can keep the law for 1/2 hour, the horse is yours. My, he went up the ladder. No trouble, he's always kept the law. So 1/2 hour, down he came, all smart. Master said, how'd you get along? Oh, he said, I had no difficulty whatever, kept the law, sure. Now listen, he said, the master said, I want you to be honest with me. How did it all? He said, tell me what you were thinking about when you were up there in the law. Well, he kind of blushed a little. Well, he said, I was thinking, you know, that there's only one horse, that saddle will fit. And so if you're going to give me the horse, you'll give me the saddle along with the horse. He says, you get neither saddle nor horse. He says, all the time you're up there, you're coveting my saddle. All friend man is so senseless when it comes to looking into the Word of God. Thou shalt not covet. And there's covetousness in every human heart. There's covetousness. And you go right down the line. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They came to the Lord Jesus. You remember, and they said, Master, what is the first and the greatest commandment? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And he says, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So I can tell you, friend, I never saw you before. You're here tonight. And you can look at me, friend, and I stand condemned.
There's no man living apart from the Lord Jesus that kept that law perfect. And what's God trying to prove? He's trying to prove to man that he's a guilty sinner and he needs a Savior.
And when he finds that out, then God shows him, I sent the Savior.
I sent my Son to be the Savior of the world. And so, what happened in the dispensation of law? Come with me. To the people to whom it was given. Let us follow the crowd out to Mount Calvary. And there you see the very one who veiled himself in human form. He came from heaven, the Son of God. And you see him nailed to the old rugged cross. That's what man did under law with all his boasted goodness. And the dispensation of law ended when they drove the spikes in the hands of the Son of God and murdered him and sent him back to heaven. Thank God he's in heaven tonight. Our Lord Jesus. He's there with the marks of Calvary, friend. And that is a condemnation of the whole world. The whole world is guilty before God. And there ends the dispensation of law.
Has man been a total failure? Oh, you say, mister, what hope is there? There's absolutely no hope for you apart from the Savior. There's no hope for me apart from the Savior.
That's what the Israelite found out back there that night when the blood was to be on the door. Now, at the resurrection, when the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples, he ushered in the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's the dispensation we're living in today. God is not judging the world today. He's reserving judgment. He has already passed judgment on the world. It's condemned already. But God now is dealing in grace with men and women. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. And he says, begin at Jerusalem. Go right to that man that put the nails in my hands, we might say. Go to the man that put the spear in my side and tell him I died for him. And many of them got saved there in Jerusalem. What was it? It's a day of grace. God didn't come down in judgment. God came out in grace. Man couldn't keep the law. Man couldn't keep the promises. Man couldn't get back to God on his own. And so God says, I'm going to do a work and I'll welcome every son and daughter of Adam's race. Listen to these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to these words. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, for 2,000 years, God has been dealing with men and women with this world in grace. Where is it tonight? Where is it tonight? Where are we tonight in relation to mankind and his relation to his God? They deny his very existence. Oh, thank God, God has worshipers all over the world today. Thank God, God has his saints all over the world today. There are those who have believed, but I'm speaking of humanity in general. 2,000 years, we might say, of amnesty, that God is waiting for the sinner to come back. God says the door is open. My Son has died, the blood is shed, the substitute has taken the sins upon him. And all you have to do is come as a guilty sinner. But you have to come as a sinner. There's no salvation for good people. The good people will be in hell and the bad people will be in heaven. He says in all these ways. What? Because there's none good. There's none good. And the reason I say the bad people are going to be in heaven is those of us who have acknowledged that we were bad and that we were hopeless and helpless. And those who, in their self-righteousness, They won't give in that they need a Savior. That's the kind of people that God is going to banish forever. And so we're in the dispensation of grace. Now, we have come down to the sixth dispensation. God is dealing with man in grace. Will man ever be able to rise up and say to God, God, you didn't make any provision for me? Because he says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Now, all these other dispensations ended in disaster. How is this one going to end? The sixth dispensation, the dispensation of grace, how is it going to end? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? No! That's when he comes back to earth to reign. Why? Because Satan, Superman, the Antichrist, will have destroyed the world church. The world church is the left when the true church goes. Headed up by that great city of Rome. 17th and 18th chapter of Revelation. And when the Antichrist gets into the saddle and able to handle the thing himself, he's going to destroy every vestige of anything of God. He's going to set himself up as God to be worshipped. And that's the time when you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark in your head or in your hand. The number system. That's the way this dispensation is going to end. Now you tell me, how far are we away from it? What can you do today without a number? What can you do today? You can't go down and even pick a feed of oysters without having a license. And it'll soon be, you can't have can't raise pigs without having a number. You can't grow potatoes without having a number. What can you do without having a number? Where are we? It's funneling down. God tells us that there's a man coming, and I wouldn't be surprised he's on the earth tonight. Maybe one of the most clever politicians in the whole world. He won't be revealed until the church goes, until the rapture, when God takes his true church out. Then he will step upon the scene with all the answers, and people will say, this is the man that we needed. Why, he has all the answers. And he's going to lift us out of this awful dilemma that we're all in, and we'll all submit to him. That's the way it's going to end. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? No. When the Lord Jesus comes back, because all the Christians will be gone before that. That door is going to close soon. Have you any thought of ever getting in on this great salvation that you're here tonight unsaved? We don't treat it. Sometimes we wake up in the night and we just say, oh, thank God. 56 years ago last June, as a poor sinner, I found out that I was condemned by the law. That I stood as a guilty sinner before God, and if I'd have died in that night, I would have gone down to hell. 21 years of age. Oh, I knew quite a bit about the Bible. Friends, I was condemned already by the law of God. By that righteous law, the wrath of God over and over my head. But when I owned up to God, but I'm lost, I'll just have to go to hell. I'm a guilty sinner. Then God opened my eyes to see. That's why I gave my son. And for the first time in my life, I understood why Jesus died. Oh, I always knew he died. He taught that. But I never knew why he died. That night I saw why he died for me upon the cross. And I trusted him as my Savior. And friend, I know for sure tonight. Oh, thank God, I know for sure that heaven is my home. My sins are all blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. Christian, did you thank God today for saving you? Did you thank God today?
When was the last time there was a tear in your cheek because you knew you were going to heaven? Everybody listening to this. When was the last time that there was that worship ascended, that spiritual sacrifice of worship ascended from your soul? Ascended to God. Oh, God. Why? Was I made to hear thy voice? Why did you select me? Why did you pick me out? Why am I going to heaven?
When so many won't even listen.
I'm going to tell you, dear Christian, if you want to keep home, keep near the cross.
Keep near the cross and always make it a wonder in your life. Why? Why did God select me? I have no nothing. I deserve nothing. Only the eternal burning. And yet, through the sovereign grace of God, God speaks me sinners to heaven. Now I say, every dispensation has ended in disaster. This will not be no different. And is shaping up. You know the next great event in God's calendar, in God's program? Is the rapture. You can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And friend, the last act before war is declared by another nation, they withdraw their ambassadors. And God is going to withdraw his ambassadors. And friend, when he comes to the air and gives that shout, from pole to pole, there won't be a Christian man. This is the dispensation of grace when God is taking out of the nations a people for his name, and it's called the bride of Christ, the church, which is his body, the bride of Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And friend, for all eternity, we're going to be nearer to the Lord Jesus than any other creatures in the universe, sinners saved by grace. I wonder what the dispensation of grace and dad I was born in. Now that's not the last dispensation. The dispensation to follow will be the seventh Sabbath of rest. When, friend, the Antichrist is in the flames. We often say, you know, you couldn't expect things to be right here now on earth. Because the devil's not yet in hell, and the Christians are not yet in heaven, and the Lord Jesus is not on the throne, so how can you expect anything else but confusion? In the millennium, the dispensation of 1,000 years of glorious reign over the earth, when the Lord Jesus will reign from the river to the ends of the earth, going to put down all rule and all authority. The devil will be bound for 1,000 years, all that time. You say, what will it be like? Well, I'll tell you, those who are earth dwellers, they'll have to be born again just the same as we are now. And the earth's population will reach such an enormous figure when men and women will live to be 1,000 years of age if they behave themselves. It says a child shall die being 100 years of age. They just be counted a baby. A child shall die being 100 years of age. It says he just becomes a child if he dies at 100. Why? Because longevity, like the days of Noah and the days of Adam, will be reinstated and the earth will be so productive. It'll be like the Garden of Eden, and the desert will blossom as a rose. Why? Because it's a man on the throne. Righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, it says there'll be righteousness even on the bells of the horses. Might you put up a gospel text now that wants you to take it down? Yeah. Put it up. I was driving along the road one day with a gospel text up on a post up in Alberton. I'm always sorry I didn't have presence of mind. When I was going by, here was a woman. And she was up there with a hammer. And she was pounding one of those tin texts. Christ died for the ungodly. And she was whacking away at it. Oh, I offered permission to stop. and said, do you need any help? I put it up there. But I didn't. You know who she was? She was a missionary that had come back from India. And she saw that text up there. She knocked it down and put up another. And then they got a petitioner. I wanted us to take the text down. In the millennium, there'll be righteousness stamped on the bells of the horses, it says. And righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And what will happen? In that 1,000 years, shall little be born, shall little grow up, and those who do not get born again and trust the King, the Sovereign Lord, and submit to Him unreservedly, just the same as we have to do today, we have to have a new nature. They will render attained obedience because if they don't, whenever rebellion is found, it will be punished. We'll be there. And at the end of that 1,000 years, with the devil in the bottomless pit, and righteousness covering the earth, and the Lord on the throne, Satan is going to be loosed out of his dungeon, out of the bottomless pit. He's going about again to deceive the nation, who will push them into the four quarters of the earth. He's going to be able to raise a rebellion against the King of righteousness, the Lord Jesus, and showing conclusively in 7 dispensations that man without the new birth is a total, absolute failure is a rebel. And that's the 7 dispensations that God is dealing with men. And then the Lord is going to come down and He's going to destroy those nations and He's going to destroy this earth on which we live. And He's going to have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so, friend, tonight, as we have come into these meetings here on the chart, we started out on Sunday night with the blood on the door there. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, these are Christian experiences after we get saved. We were on these last night, crossing the Jordan and all. But just as I finish up tonight, I want to notice what God is trying to show a sinner. We get in the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. And you see a little picture here. I think that's one of the most vivid pictures of redemption that we have in the whole Bible. Here was a little animal here, the lamb. And was a clean animal. Take a lamb, a clean animal. No sentence on his head. It was one of these animals that God used to represent His Son. A little lamb. But here's an animal standing beside it. And God said, every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. So that little animal was born with a sentence on its head. Now how is it going to live? Is there any way that that little animal can live? Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. God put that in the Bible twice, in the Old Testament. Why? What God is trying to show men and women, that it's not what we do, and the cursing or the swearing or the sins that we commit that make us a sinner. We do that because we are born sinners. You see, people can change their behavior, but you can't change their nature. We often say, and you don't have any trouble understanding, there's a dog, and he runs up wagging his tail. Oh, you see, nice little dog. Another dog comes along, he bites your heel. Well, what is it? He's just a dog. That's his nature. Whether he's eating or barking, or biting, or licking your hand, but it's just a dog. I see a sinner down on his knees and he's praying. What is he? He's a sinner.
I see him lifting his hands. And he's saying that the Pharisee, oh God, I thank thee, I know those other men are, and so on. What is he? He's just a sinner.
People say, I don't drink, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, pay 100 cents in the dollar. And my old uncle said, if you were talking to God, I think you'd find that God would say, I think Leslie is a good boy. I keep up my line fences, and if anybody sick, I'm the first one they call in the community. That's what God said about Uncle Leslie. God said Uncle Leslie, with all his good deeds, he was just a sinner. That little animal, you can do what you like with it, but it's a sentence on its head, and it's still an ass's colt. And what does God say? It says, God says its neck has to be broken. See, that's what the law was given for. To make me realize, I'm like the ass of gold. I have a serpent on my head by nature. Born of sin and shaped of iniquity. Now man has invented ways to get rid of that original sin. I wonder what high heaven thinks of it. Drinking a little water on their heads and saying that takes away their original sin. Of baptism. Ah, friend, I want to tell you. That's that. As far as God is concerned, that's flying right in the very face of the Word of God. Baptism takes away no sin, either in sprinkling or in immersion.
Has nothing to do with removing sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so what God is trying to show by giving the Ten Commandments to humanity is this simple little picture here.
Now, what are they going to do? If they want to save that ass's colt, the only way is the lamb must die. You can't both of it. You see that? What did John say? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that's the whole story of redemption, the whole story of salvation. When the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, listen to these words. It says, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so open he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. But, as Isaiah 53 tells us, but he was wounded for my transgression. The little ass, as Cole could say, but he died for me. My neck, the sentence was on me to have my neck broken. The law of God condemned me. And there was only one way of someone had to take my place. And that is the simple plan of salvation for sinners. Now as I finish up tonight, I want to ask everyone here, have you seen that truth? That someone else took your place and died for you? The ass is colt now. The lamb has died. The ass is colt goes out free. I've been preaching the gospel over 45 years. And troubled souls, when they stay behind and want help, there is one of the first scriptures I turn them to. Exodus 13 and 13. Because if a person can't see something in that scripture, then I know they're not ready for salvation. And you'll be surprised, educated people and intelligent people that we've sat down beside. And we draw that little picture. Now we say, God says, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. Now we say, there's two animals there. One is a sentence on its head, and the other is no sentence. This little animal has a sentence on its head. Now can you tell me how that little animal can live? It's born with a sentence on its head. How can it live? And I've seen them shake their head. Because you see,
They just weren't listening, weren't taking it in. But oh, we have seen the light break in. One dear man, I can see him yet where he was sitting. Well, I said, David, do you want, really want? He said, I do want to be saved. He had a false profession before. I do want to be saved. I turned him to that. And just to be ready for it. Now, you just see his face like he saw the truth. That he was like the ass's colt, condemned already. And that the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, represented here in the little Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, he died so that he would be able to trust in Christ. From the simplicity of God's salvation. Are you saved? Now listen, if you're saved, that law has been vindicated. It condemned you. The sentence was executed. Where? At Calvary. He died under the curse of a law that I have broken. Thank God. And now, where am I? Friend, that's what detaches me from this old earth of a curse. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus, and when He raised from the dead, that's what we're bringing out in the baptism. I'm no longer in my standing in Adam. My standing is now in a resurrected Savior. And while I'm still in a dying body, thank God, I have been redeemed. Just like the ass's colt. And friend, if you want to know why we're preaching the gospel and trying to serve the Lord, we're not doing it to get to heaven. We're doing it because we're going there. And we want to tell others about the Lord Jesus and how He died on the cross for sinners. And we want to try to help saints. Because listen, Christian, you have two natures when you're going into that, maybe tomorrow night. And your old nature can just bind you down to earth. Sure, you'll be in heaven. You're redeemed. But this is the whole thing. We have to remind ourselves and reckon that I am in a new creation. I belong to a new master. And Satan, the god of this world, his power has been broken over me. And now I want to live. Why? I want to live for the one that died for me. I want to live for the one that gave his all for me. I want to use my body for the one who gave his body for me. That's the whole secret of Christian living. So may God bless his word. Now tomorrow night, God willing, we will be taking up maybe this. We took the manna there last one, but here is the one we'll be perhaps noticing. It ties in quite well with this. This is Rephidim, but the war with Amalek is over here, but this is the artist didn't put a little mark here. And then we'll be going on. This is Christian experience, but we'd like you to come out. Sit back. God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. And we may notice it. God never dwelt on earth until he dwelt in that tabernacle that was built in the wilderness. He never dwelt on earth in the days of Eden. The first time he came down to dwell amongst men. So God willing, we'll be here tomorrow night, Sunday night. Fine, get back. Pray for. Father, we ask that blessing upon thy precious word. We thank you for the dear ones who are here. Any that do not know of a Savior, that thou wilt speak definitely to them. Those of us who are saved, that we might ever realize, as we see this little picture that thou hast given us, the Lamb that took our place. God bless now and undertake in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now we're going to sing number 80. I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert place, heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me in everything. Heaven is my home.